This is 89.7 NPR News. I'm Claire Roth. After the 1994 Rwandan genocide, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda interrogated some of those who participated in the mass violence that took 1 million lives. A study published this month found that the most common way the perpetrators defended themselves was by claiming that they were good people. Holly, I'm sorry, I don't know how to say your name. Niseth Brame.
Yeah.
Holly Niseth-Brame is an assistant professor of sociology at OSU. She's one of the co-authors of the study, and she just returned from Rwanda. Hi, Holly. Welcome to the program, and welcome back to the States.
Thank you so much for having me.
What did you find when you examined these men's testimony?
So we were particularly interested in understanding how they spoke about their crimes. How did these men actually talk about what they did? How did they try to rationalize their actions? How did they try to make sense of it? And to give you the 30-second version, we basically found that they rely on different techniques called techniques of neutralization to try to make sense of what they did and actually to try to paint themselves as good people.
Is that a bluff on their part? Is this a last-ditch attempt to appear innocent? Or do these men truly believe that that's the case?
I think it's actually a mix. I think, first of all, they're often trying to portray themselves in a positive light. So often one of their primary goals was to try to seem like they were actually a good person. When you're accused of genocide, often this can mean that people see like you as a monster, as an evil individual. And as you look at their testimony, often what they were trying to do is to say, no, I'm not a bad person. Look, here are the good things that I've done, as a way to try to appear like a good person. So I really think a lot of it was about trying to negotiate their identity and to try to not come away from the trial as someone who was tarnished as an evil monster for what they did.
What insight can this sort of study give us into the human psyche?
It comes back to, in some ways, a hallmark of genocide studies is that the individuals who commit genocide actually aren't evil monsters. When I talk with my students about genocide, it's often one of the first things that we talk about, because when you think about who might commit genocide, I think we have a tendency to think if someone's doing an atrocious act, they have to be an evil person. And what we know as scholars is this actually isn't the case. Often they actually are very normal, kind, nice people who do terrible things under terrible circumstances. And I think if we understand this about genocide, it helps us to better understand how we could intervene in genocide, how we can change social situations to respond to genocide.
How else can a study like this help us prevent future atrocities?
An important thing to note is that we are looking at their rationalizations after the act. So there's no way to know necessarily if this is how they were thinking beforehand, but I think it actually might. So put another way, we're listening and looking at what they're doing after they committed genocide. And this means that after they committed these acts, this is how they're thinking about and making sense of what they did. For these theories, we think that people use techniques of neutralization to actually enable them to commit the crime in the first place. So this means that even before they commit the crime, they might be thinking, okay, we have this whole group of us, it's not just me. So it allows them to deny their own responsibility and then perhaps participate in the actions. So I think understanding how they neutralize it afterwards might also lend insights into their processes before they commit the violence. And this is what we really also want to understand.
Yeah, like, oh, well, I'm a good person, so it doesn't change me if I do this.
Exactly, yeah.
How is this study breaking new ground when it comes to understanding genocidal violence?
I think when we look at who participates in genocide and why, it's actually a fairly new area of research. And in part, it links back to what I was telling you, that for many years, people tended to think of genocide as something committed by evil people and committed by some or in a way that we can't understand it. And I think it's been much more recently that we've been trying to understand it as social scientists and trying to say it's not just evil. It's not just something that we can't understand. It's a social situation. And as sociologists or criminologists, we can study the situation and try to understand what's taking place.
Holly Niseth-Brame, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Holly Niseth-Brame is an assistant professor of sociology at Ohio State. She published a study with a few co-authors this month about how those who were tried in the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda justified their actions.